Wow. Well, thank you very much, people of God, for showing up to this awesome meeting with the Lord and with each other. I want to welcome my three guests and our caller. But before we go on, I want to open up the show in prayer and glorify the Lord, because very, very soon now, very, very soon, we are going to meet the Lord in the air. We are going to be with Jesus in the sky very, very soon. So right now, Lord, we just come together as a great big family, so excited because we're living in the moment that at your beckoning word, we're going to go up to meet you in the clouds of glory, in our glorified bodies. So, Lord, we come together right now, worshiping you, glorifying you, praising you, and thanking you for choosing us to live in these last seconds of these very last days. I ask that you sprinkle your precious blood on all of us, that you purify our hearts and our thoughts, our desires, and wash away the dirt from the day and all the junk that has polluted us just because we're on this earth. And for all those who have needs, that need to, you know, that have to be met right now, be it bills, be it a job, be it an emotional healing, a spiritual healing, whatever it is, a physical healing, whatever it is, you're our great Jehovah Jireh and our great Jehovah Rapha. You're our great provider and you're our great healer. And we thank you, Lord, for being God and for choosing us to be your people. We pray that tonight you take the wheel of the show. This is your show. This is you. You are in command. And we are so excited to have you as our great shepherd, as our great leader, as our great pastor. And soon, very, very soon, we're going to meet you in the air, in the clouds of glory.
Hallelujah.
Hey, everybody. Very, very, very soon, we're going to go see the king. So don't let anybody get discouraged because we're still here. I want to welcome my three guests, 1697, 1789, 1824. Hey, Chris, I'm glad you're here. And Ilana and Raina, Roman. And I think we just lost somebody. And then we have our two wonderful callers. We got our three wonderful callers. I think we've got Mama Pat.
Hi, honey. How you doing?
Hey, very, very well, Pat. Everybody. Let me unmute everybody and welcome them all, okay?
Sure.
So hold your thoughts for a moment.
Amen.
And there comes Tana. Hey, Tana.
Hello.
You're probably in listening.
Hi, sweetie.
Hey.
Hi.
Love you. Love you too, sweetie.
Are you at work?
Yeah, I'm working. I am at work,
okay.
I'll be here for only a few more minutes. But I love you all. Love you, Jesus. Love you, chat. Love you, everyone.
Amen.
Very soon.
That's right. Very, very, very soon. And then we have Keith, and I'm sure Keith has a lot of news for us today. Don't you, Keith?
Yeah.
Hey, Keith.
Oh, boy.
Love you, Keith.
Hey. Good. How are you? Can we go over the news?
Well, hold on. Let me welcome caller 413.
Hi,
Alana.
Hi,
kid.
Hi, this is Alana. Hey,
hey Alana.
Keith.
Hi,
Alana.
Alana.
Hey, Carol. Hey,
hi, Alana.
Carol.
Love you.
Love you as well.
How you doing, sweetie?
So exciting to have everybody, on the phone and in chat. When I came on, there was there were actually four guests. Now there's only two, but
that's okay.
You know, it's good to have everybody. Yeah, it's good to have everybody
family
here. So, hey, what do you all have to say? There's a lot. There's been a lot of news today.
Yeah, Keith,
I
go
know,
for
and I'm looking for our news reporter Keith to share what's on his heart.
Can I just say something real fast before? Because I have to go in like 1 minute.
Sure.
I felt a lot of energy. I couldn't sleep at all last night. There was a lot of energy, and then this morning I felt like I was being pulled out a little bit, or like, you know, like getting my body ready to go a couple of times this morning. That's all I wanted to say. Yay!
Yeah. Wow! Praise you,
Lord. Carol. That's you, sweetie. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I've been, for me, you know what? I've just been in the zone. I just want to stay focused. I've just been focused on him in everything I do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just watching him in my spirit.
Yes.
And I'm just listening for him to say those awesome words. Come up here. That's what I'm excited about. I know that he...
Amen.
I know we're in the time frame, and I don't feel like that unction that we're leaving right this second, but I know we're leaving, and we're leaving really, really soon, and it could be right this second.
Yeah.
So what has the Lord been showing you guys?
Just close to him, you know, just, like you said, just paying attention to him keenly, not anxious, a little on edge, not on edge, I'm not getting the right word, just, I don't know, expectant, stuff like that, just close. I mean, I know Keith's going to do the news, but I just had it on, and Gaza and Israel are going at each other. I mean, this is bad, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And then they're talking
it's
about
really
all these
bad,
thousands
really...
of kids coming over from Mexico or Honduras or whatever. And yeah. Obama went to Texas, and so Keith, maybe you can pick up, sweetie, because it's a mess.
Yeah, I mean, it's ever since I started with those three boys that were killed. Hamas is the one that started it, which is so crazy, and then it turns out Hamas is the one that keeps going back and forth with Israel. Israel has Netanyahu vows to widen Gaza operation by 40,000 troops. He says 40,000 troops were brought in.
Yeah.
Israel launched a major operation against Hamas and other terror groups in Gaza in the early hours of Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
They might march in with their troops, they're saying, and do a land clean out. Yeah.
Meantime, we've got a typhoon that is way out of control, headed toward Japan. It's going to go all the way up to Japan until Friday, all the way through Japan. It's going to hit the Okinawa Island. And
number five.
Number five, yeah, 110 miles an hour winds. Last I heard, might be more now.
Oh.
So watch out Fukushima, because it's going to head right through that and any little thing around there. You know,
they have to close that down in 9 days, mm-hmm.
The problem is there's a water leakage going on, so they have to turn down the thing that's keeping the fuel rods cool. So there's nothing to keep those cool rods cool, so if they don't do that, they don't get it back on in 9 days, then we're going to have a meltdown from Fukushima, which would be a huge, don't let anybody fool you. It's going to be a little disaster. It's going to be a huge nuclear bomb that will affect the entire world, okay? It's way more powerful than anything that's ever been released when that thing goes off. So I researched that.
717.
Okay, 15 new Ebola cases in two African countries.
Yeah.
Oklahoma tops California in 2014 quakes. Wow.
Wow.
The asset bubble is going to burst. You know that.
The what?
The asset bubble on Wall Street, and the fact that everybody's in 2008, people were borrowing money for stocks. It's way over the 30% level that they're doing now. So we should already have a meltdown now. So we're overdue.
Mm-hmm.
This time they won't be able to save anything. It'll be gone. The Israeli cabinet has approved an IDF request to call up 40,000 troops. Yeah, which we know they just did. The army call-ups are expected to begin immediately within several days, raising the specter that the army plans to use ground units to invade Gaza in order to push stop to the rocket fire. We know that'll never stop because Hamas, you know, they're crazy. There'll be one person that'll be stupid and just keep throwing the bomb back and forth and getting Israel, you know. Israel should have snuffed them a long time ago. Should have took over Gaza a long time ago. But, you know, it's all lined up for end-time events because now this war is not the war that is going to get us raptured, just so everyone knows. This war between Hamas and Israel is not the final war. It's not in the Bible. It's not the Psalm 83 war. It's not the Gog and the Magog war. But it is the reason why it's important is because Israel has been doing nothing for a long time. So the fact that when God says watch Israel, he tells me to keep your eyes and ears on Israel. So when Israel's on the move, then things are going to change and happen. So this war could easily spill over into Syria very easily and cause, you know, the Psalm 83 or any of the wars. Or it can cause Israel to go after Iran. So Israel's on the move, and that's the reason why we're watching, you know. This abortionist guy just killed over 90,000 babies, and he says it was his calling in life. Okay, whatever.
What?
Our world's gone, yeah. UN pushes for migrants to be called refugees. The UN is trying to get them driver's licenses, the U.S. is trying to get them driver's license, and everything's illegal, aliens. It's just crazy. This one will blow your mind, too. Over on the border area where, you know, many of them are supposed to keep out these illegal immigrants, Obama administration has given them paid time off so they wouldn't be there, so the immigrants would come through. Obama gives Murrieta area ICE agents temporary leave. Just unbelievable what he's doing.
Unreal.
Different. It's just like, open the gate.
What do you expect to do with all these kids?
I know. Well, some of them have diseases and stuff I was reading about.
Yes, lice, everything.
Nothing against the kids.
And get them cheered up. But what are you going to do with these thousands of kids? They're in the FEMA camps.
I know.
I mean, it's insane.
It's almost like,
what are you gonna
do? We know he's doing it on purpose. He wants to destroy America, and he's doing a really good job. But, you know, he loves Earth. He'll be here on the Earth with all the other people that are left behind, and they'll get to experience what it's really about. That's why Jesus always tells me, You know, whenever you see evil people in the world around you, you go to the store and they just don't care, and no one bears fruit, nobody cares, nobody's doing their job. Every time you call people to help you at the store, they don't care, nobody cares. Just the Lord reminded me that it's very simple. All he has to do is just leave them alone. You know, if somebody doesn't care, he doesn't have to do anything to them. He just leaves them alone. And then they're going to be stuck here all by themselves during the tribulation with all the other evil people. So it's not like, you know, we have to make effort to get raptured. You know, we have to want to be raptured. So anyone that's doing evil in the world, the Lord just simply leaves them alone, and they're going to be left behind with all the other evil. He doesn't have to punish them or anything, because believe me, they're going to get it all in the tribulation. So that's the key, the exit plan. That's the key. That's what we're striving for. You know, everyone else can be left behind. This one says, a Navy veteran sues for the right to be buried with her lesbian spouse in Idaho. Oh, Lord have mercy. So she wants to be buried. They're alive and healthy, but they want to be suing to be buried together when they die. I'm sure they'll grant that right, too. ISIS vice president warns U.S. to stay... This is interesting. Or, I'm sorry. Iraq vice president warns U.S. to stay out of the civil war. That's kind of surprising. Iraq's vice president is telling U.S. to stay out of it. A little shocking. Why the super typhoon heading toward Japan could be so dangerous. Okay, this thing. Yes, Okinawa is where it's headed to, and that's where the naval U.S. military bases are there. So, okay, with sustained winds of 150 miles an hour, I guess, that's 150.
Wow.
The federal court demands can you imagine? The federal court demands Arizona State to provide driver's license to the illegals. I mean,
unreal.
Since when does the federal tell the state to do anything? It's just, so now we're giving them licenses. I'm surprised they just don't open the border and just hand them licenses and let them walk through and do whatever they want to do. So that's what they're doing right now.
Oh my gosh.
The deadly Ebola virus is out of control. Joe Biden says gay marriage fulfills the Declaration of Independence. The Bert and Ernie gay marriage cake leaves Christians another bakery facing court threat because they don't want to do a gay wedding cake with the Ernie and the other one. Obama's supporter chaos. Huh? Yeah, with Bert. I never knew they were lovers.
No, they always denied it.
Okay. Obama skips the border chaos. We'll fundraise in Austin. Okay. Yeah, Obama, he's going to be busy in Austin somewhere. He has no problem.
Yeah, he's going
to deal with the border stuff. Oh, gosh.
Giving him $7 million.
Border crisis to provide cover to ISIS operatives. Yeah, see, the border, they're saying ISIS people can get through that way. Hamas, Orange Israel, you will pay with a heavy price.
The gates
Muslim
themselves
Brotherhood member
are going to open
up. Go ahead,
up.
Pat. What?
I was saying, I'm constantly being reminded by what Hamas told Israel a couple of days ago. If you attack us, the gates of hell are going to open up.
Yeah, and that's what's happening.
You know, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Muslim Brotherhood member that met in White House calls for Islamic war against Israel. But now he's meeting in the White House and he's calling for a war against Israel. It really goes to show you, if you met in the White House, what were they talking about? You know, if the president obviously wasn't in favor of Israel. The sinkhole reveals lost memorial chapel to Pharaoh. Okay. 5.5 quake in Japan. He was falling down. Okay, more than 80 rockets in steady stream from God. More than 80 rockets in a steady stream from Gaza's expand target. So, yeah, more than 8 rockets from Gaza, 2 targets in Israel. Israel says they're not going to be able to. The Gaza people said Israel won't be able to take all the bombs down. U.S. Israeli general says cut U.S. aid to Palestinian Authority. It's a very, you know, careful system there. You've got a lot of Palestinians that live in Israel. You've got some Israelis that live in Palestine, okay? But you also have Israel who collects the taxes, and they have to send the billions of dollars in tax money to Palestine. So every so often they get real irritated with Palestine, who's bombing them left and right, and they say, we're holding back your money, you know? But then they go, okay, we'll give you your money, and then they do it. Now, the U.S. Has never backed Israel doing that, but it's now that Israel is saying that they want the U.S. to back that so they can stop giving them. So it's a really, you know, they could cut off all their money, but it would also help, you know, it would work against Israel. I mean, a lot of them do businesses every day with each other, Palestinians, Israel, you know.
Yeah.
It's a complicated interrelationship, you know.
Yep.
Iran offers to help Lebanon fight Islamic State. Now, that's interesting. So Iran is helping Lebanon fight Islam, ISIS.
Wow.
Another baker ordered to endorse gay rights, otherwise they can't bake their store anymore. China's rise in Asian tensions and U.S. relations into a downward spiral. China and U.S. downward spiral in their relationship right now. Super typhoon takes aim at Japan. So it's going to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's going to go right through. The problem is going from the tip of Japan all the way up that island. Watch
wow.
out Fukushima. Over 60 girls and women escaped the African
right.
nation.
Because,
Israel
yeah.
called up 1,500 reservists, and I think.
Wow.
Oh, yeah,
time
okay.
to fly.
There's the news. It's just crazy, crazy
stuff.
Crazy,
crazy, crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. man. Yellowstone gas is leaking, yeah.
What's going on with Yellowstone, Pat? Give us the
just
update.
The thing you sent me about more gases are being
oh,
released,
yeah.
so that's not cool.
That's just really bad. Yeah, that's,
yeah.
we don't know what's going on with that.
I heard, yeah, I was listening to this young man from Honduras. He's a PhD now. He's teaching and helping people, his own people, and he was an illegal, but he got through, and he told of the horrors that happened, why they went on a train all the way to America, because all the kids are either sold as sex slaves, or they're into a gang, or they get killed, they're starved, they're beaten, everybody's drinking, and he says the people have to escape from that, and that's why they wanted to come to America, that's why all the children are coming to America. And so I'm thinking, if you're going to send all these kids back, you're sending them right back to hell. I mean, I don't know what to do for them. I wish there was some way to help them permanently. But he said that he's so grateful that he came to America when he did, even though it was illegal. And he has a PhD now, and he's using all his talents and gifts to work with the communities and stuff to help people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what a blessing he turned out to be. And he told of the horrors of Honduras and Mexico,
right.
how the children are treated and sold and raped and just everything just drinking, beating, horrible. And he said he had so much suffering, so much loss. His brother died in his mother's arms because they couldn't go to a doctor. And his mother and sister were here, and all that kept him going was that he's going to be with his mother and sister and escape all this horrible, horrible nightmare. So he said that's why these kids are coming over, to escape all this horror that's happened in this country, because this country's gone berserk with evil. Yeah, so I understand that. But what do you do? I mean, what do you do? You know, moral and decent for these poor. These are kids. These are not like, adults. These are kids who are sick and suffering and away from their parents and have gone through what that lovely man said that he went through. You know, he says America's their only hope for any kind of life or even to stay alive. He has a video out. CNN had it. So, I mean, oh, my gosh, what a mess. What a nightmare.
Yeah, people... You know, their newspapers are taking out ads and telling people through the ads that America has opened its borders and they're allowing everybody to come in, and all the children are going to get free medical and free food and free housing.
It's crazy.
And Free everything, free education, everything. And so all the more reason they're just blocking, because the government has taken out ads over there to get the people. That's why they all started coming in hordes by the thousands.
Why?
By the thousands. And it's my heart goes out so much to the children.
Yes.
It is no fault of their own. And I pray that the Lord protects them and grants them supernatural favor and protection and draws them to himself and somehow rescues them. He's our rescuer. He's our deliverer. And they need to be set free and delivered, too. And, this is all part of, judgment is obviously coming. And last night I was hearing these these underground commentators who are really trying to tell people to wake up. I mean, they're more alert than the preachers on the pulpit, and letting people know, hey, there is an elite group of people that want to, that are in the process of creating a new world order, and they're trying to do away with, you know, all the sick people, all the old people, you know, all the poor people, all the ignorant people. That, and that's their goal, is first to get everybody to come to the United States, okay? And that also is opening the door for all those Islamic terrorists to come in with them, you know, as well as the drug lords. And so their goal is to destroy the United States. Well, you know, judgment is coming, and God knows his own. And this is all on the surface, it's all just very heart-wrenching news.
Oh, it is.
But in the spirit realm, it is a wake-up call. And for us, the bride, you know, it's a time that we know. It's more confirmation. This is more confirmation for us than any day now. Jesus
is
coming.
It's getting nuts. Totally nuts. Yeah, I mean, if I had it within my power, I would fly over there to where these children are and just hug them or just hold them or just, you know, if I could do that, I would be there helping them, you know, but I can't. But I can pray. We can all pray, you know. But God will use all this for his purposes and everything. One of the reasons that they wanted a lot of illegals to come, too, is because they're going to say, oh, yay, Obama, and then when they're of age to vote, guess what, the Democrats get in, you know. So, I mean, that was the other reason that he wants the illegals there.
He is, well,
the voting
I'm telling you. He is one of the most heartless, evil men we've ever had in office.
Oh, multiply that. Multiply that with all the other governments. Multiply it. Who's different?
You know,
Satan's got them all by the throat. Every government.
All of them. But this man has absolutely no heart, no conscience, no love. No compassion. There's just something not right with
about
man.
Him.
And well, you know, and we know.
Yeah, we know.
You know, we know. I also want to welcome, I think, Stacy. Stacy, are you on the phone, 914?
Hi, Kara. It's Joe.
Oh, hi.
How are you?
How are you?
Good. Enjoying listening to you guys.
Okay. Glad you're with us.
Good. So have you just want to listen?
I'm going to keep myself on mute. I'm in a minute.
Okay.
All right. I think this is a good time that we, you know, we were just talking about all this horrible, all this horrible news, which is, you know, on the surface, which is really good news for us. But I just want to lift up, let's lift up all those children who are so lost and confused, and you know they have no direction, no guidance from anyone. But you know the Holy Spirit is our teacher and our guide, and He's a great God.
Yes.
And let's lift them up to the Lord, okay? And then I'm going to play a song to worship the Lord with. Father God, right now, our hearts go out to all these children, who are, so many of them are sickly now. Many might have TB. So many of them are infested with lice. And, but who knows what kind of, diseases might be coming upon them just because of the way they're living. But you are a mighty God. And you are our great healer and our great physician and our great provider. And we know that what is impossible with man is more than possible with you. We pray that your Holy Spirit and the power of your Holy Word, Father, will come upon all those children and their mothers and their fathers and all the teenagers there. And do a supernatural healing in that place. Shine your light on them. And, just put the devil to shame by your appearance there. Gather up all those children to yourself and let your love and your life, you know, and your glory shine upon them, and heal them all, and supernaturally bless them with your presence, that they may rise up and, you know, be like little Pentecostal children, suddenly being filled with the Spirit and the power of the Word of God, and doing mighty great things, you know, in your kingdom, to the glory and praise of your name, you know, and you know, and to the shame of the devil. So thank you, Lord, for listening to the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart. And let us rejoice in you know, in the Lord. So here I'm going to we're going to worship our King, for He is our King.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your Spirit is within me because you died.
Thank you.
God.
Carol.
Yeah, Judy, we are very encouraged. At least I am. I know we're going home, and I think everyone feels it. You know, and we do let him love us. I know I do, and I know everybody here does. We wouldn't be here if we didn't let the Lord love on us every moment of our waking hour. There's no other way to live. You know, we have to we have to live in His presence. We have to live in His love. Because if we don't, we're going to really get depressed. Well, this world is just falling apart. It's really going to hell in a handbasket. But
he said,
you know what?
Yeah.
That's prophecy coming to pass. And,
he said something.
And God said He is coming to get us. And
no, while I was listening
to
the music, He said something. He said, don't worry about the children. He said, don't worry about the children. He said, they're going to go when we go. And he said, only in heaven are they going to have true peace and happiness, that he knows how violated and abused they've been. That he says, don't worry about this. He says, and when you and the others go, he says, they go too. They go with me, so don't worry. In heaven they'll find peace and happiness. Don't be upset about this. He says he's got everything in control, and don't worry about it. Just trust him. He said, trust me. So he said, don't worry about the children.
Wow.
He's going to take them. All of them. He's going to take them.
Awesome.
And only in heaven will they have true peace and happiness, he said, and that he understands everything they've been through. You know, it's end of the line.
Wow.
This is it.
Oh, thank you, Father.
This anymore.
Thank you, Lord, for giving Pat that word.
Don't worry.
We needed to hear that word. I know
yes.
I did.
I'm in tears. I mean, I'm crying. I'm so happy that they'll be okay. Because that's on my, you know,
I'm
a mother, and I feel for my kids and my grandkids. And that's killing me what's happening to them. It's killing me. But God has it in. He's allowing it. And he said, don't worry. When we go, he said, when you and the others go, when I take you, he says, they're coming too, all of them. And then they'll find peace and happiness in heaven. Only in heaven are they going to find us.
Oh,
so
praise
I'm
the
relieved.
Lord.
Yeah.
Well,
he said, don't worry
you,
about
Lord,
it. He's got it
word.
Covered. He's got it all covered.
Thank you,
He's taking
Lord.
Care of it.
Judy in chat says that she loves it when you cry because your tears are so anointed.
I'm from the heart.
He told her.
Holy.
Yeah. And I know they are, Pat. I'm telling you, the Lord has just super anointed you in the last couple of months, like never before.
Whatever I can do, I'm here, family, you know. I'm a very little soul, very simple, but I love him. And he can do anything he wants with me. And I say, you want to speak through me, whatever?
Him, yeah.
I said, I'm here. I'm just here. Later on, I'll read a message that Keith sent over to me. Keith, I think it's from, is it Trumpet 77 again? 777? It's a very beautiful message. Okay.
It is beautiful.
Oh, it is. So whenever you guys want me to read this, I mean, if you want to talk a little bit more about other stuff, and we can always come back to this, you know. It's up to you.
I was going to read it, but God told me I wanted you to read it, so
okay.
I'm having you read it.
No, I'll do whatever
go
I can.
Go ahead and read it.
Okay.
Read it, yeah.
This is a good one. Like you said, Keith, that's Keith's word. This is a good one, and it is. Beloved daughters and sons, an overcomer you shall be as I crown you with life and cause you to sit with me on my throne. The days have grown ever long, and yet you stand sure with me, unwavering, watching for the breaking of the dawn. I tell you surely that the sun is rising, this S-O-N. The day star is rising in your heart. The night's bitter longing and trials are all but over for you. The enemy increases fury now, hoping to snatch any from my hand. Has he not heard it is written that none shall be snatched from my hand? Do not grow weary in doing good, my children, for you will reap if you don't faint. Do not give up and turn back. Do not look he says, do not look from my face, for there are raging waters below, dark waters that desire to drown you in their bitter embrace. Focus on me, for I am light and life. I possess all you need to make it through the last shadows of the night. Morning is breaking, and such a day has never been seen. It is a day unequaled, unsung, and it shall never end. Remain in me, my loves, for my joy remains in you. I am closer than a breath, and our covenant is sure, unshakable, and true. I call heaven and earth to record this day that I shall never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to now. Behold the ending of the age.
Wow. That's
very good. Is that great?
That was
encouraging.
Awesome.
Super encouraging. Super encouraging, guys. Thanks, Keith. You always send me good stuff.
That was really awesome. Thank you, Lord, for this word, that you blessed us with. Ray, Ilana has a story she would like to share. Well, aren't you? Are you on? You should be unmuted. You're on the phone, aren't you, Ilana? Let's see. What was your number?
Oh.
Wasn't it 413?
Yeah, it is so, can you hear me?
Yeah, hi, honey.
Yes, there you go.
Oh, hello, my babies.
Hi, sweetie.
I love you, Ilana. I love you as well. I wanted to tell you guys something, and especially I wanted to tell this to Stacy, because I would not have known about it were it not for something that Stacy said to me in chat. We're talking about the storm that is raging around us.
Mm.
And I just want to tell you a brief story about what happened to me as I was coming home yesterday. Not the greatest day for me, but as I was coming home yesterday, I had to stop off and get some gas at my cheap gas station. I ran in, I gave them my 20. I came out, and the sky looked strange. And the reason I say that is I was seeing lightning, and usually when a storm comes in, you can see it. It comes from one direction, and it goes up to the other. But this lightning was like, now it was here, now it was there. Thunder was in a third part. I couldn't figure out what was going on. I pumped the gas, and as I stepped into the car, I saw the biggest raindrops that I've ever seen in my life. And if I say that they were the size of a silver dollar,
wow,
that's not an exaggeration. I've never seen anything like it. And as I was driving home, it became so fierce that there was a whiteout. You could not drive. I was over the yellow. I found out after I got to work today what had really happened. I didn't pay any attention at the time, but it stopped traffic everywhere. And I drove up to my house, and I couldn't get out of the car because it was raining too hard, even with an umbrella. So I just pulled out my pocket Bible, read a few verses, and it was clear enough for me to go in. Stacy said, are you okay in those storms? And I said, yeah, it just got a little wet. Well, what I didn't find out until I went to work today was there was a tornado over my head.
Oh, my gosh.
It did not touch
down.
It did not touch down.
Oh, my gosh.
A tornado was right overhead.
Wow.
And this tells me sometimes God speaks to us in a number of ways.
Yeah.
And you know that thing in Psalms 91, that thing, the storm will rage all around you.
Right.
And it will not touch you.
Exactly.
This morning my daughter called somebody, had busted her car all out, and yada, yada, yada. Everything, I think everything that could have happened, and all I could say today, you know, because I was going to just walk in his way, and all I ended up saying was, Lord, I thank you that it wasn't any worse than it was. And I was like, that's a pitiful prayer, you know?
No prayer is pitiful.
No.
Anytime any of us talk to the Lord,
no matter what. Isn't that a pitiful prayer? Do you know how many people are not talking to the Lord at all? Boy, any one of us...
Make up for
you know,
it.
Talk to him. He's like rejoicing because we're talking to him.
Yes,
so many
exactly.
people have refused to talk to him anymore.
Yeah.
I felt bad
because I wasn't saying glory to God in the highest in the midst of the storm. I was saying, when I said to him, God, I am thankful that it ain't no worse than it is. I said, no, you know that's the most simple prayer
you ever prayed in your life, girl. He put a big smile on his face because of what you said. Yeah, that's awesome.
He'll always protect you. You know that. Yeah. You're his own.
You recognize the danger, but, you know, you didn't know how bad it was. You were just minding your business and, you know, basking in his love and in his presence.
Yeah.
You know, and you were just like waiting for the storm to move so you could go in your home. And all the while the Lord is chuckling because he knows he's protecting you and you don't know it. You know, you just see there's a lot of rain and
right.
There's just a lot of rain. And,
it's just a lot of rain.
You know, I'm not going to go in the house until it's over. And all the while, he's chuckling because.
Here's one thing I'd like to add to that prayer. And the last thing that really broke my heart was that my daughter, when she called me to tell me about how her car had been broken into and everything stolen, and, you know, she had a $1,000 deductible, and she doesn't have the money, she said to me, you know, Mom, all those prayers you said for me for God to protect me, well, they didn't work. And that broke my heart. And I was like, I know I'm close because you're messing with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're messing with me. And I could hear a little voice that said, see, God is mad at you. You know, and I was like, oh, no, I know where this is coming from. I know that little nasty voice. I must be close.
Oh, yeah,
really,
of course.
When you mess with my kids.
Yeah.
When you mess with my kids.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, he does it.
So, oh, no, you did not see me rebuke. I was at work rebuking. I said, let me tell you about these fiery darts. I'm going to send them back to you. I'm going to send them back to you 1,000 times over. Watch me rebuke.
Mm-hmm.
I was pissed.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
Don't mess with my kids, and you don't mess with these kids neither.
He used those words to try to give you discouragement, but they don't work.
They don't work.
And I'm sure, even though your daughter said this to you, I'm positive that as soon as those words came out, her heart sunk, like, with sadness for saying those words. Because that's the way the Holy Spirit works. You know, we'll say, I remember one time I was at work. This was before I got saved. Okay, I was about 18. I was just out of high school, and I thought I was all that and more. Yeah, right. Okay. And, you know, I was hanging around with all the cool, wrong crowd. So, you know, one day at work, where everybody was just acting up and acting stupid and what have you. And I said, you know what? If there's a hell, I want to go to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be and we're all going to be partying together.
Oh, my goodness.
I said that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord, for making my heart feel guilty for saying that. Because as soon as I said those words, one of my other coworkers said, I never want to go to hell. And as soon as she said that, my heart just sank and I felt guilty for saying those words. So even though your daughter said those words to you, Ilana, she knew that what she said was hurtful to you and also to the Lord, whether she believes in him or not. And so I already know, you know it. The Holy Spirit is the one who, you know, he touches our hearts. And I'm sure that as soon as those words came out of her mouth, the Lord, you know, pricked her heart for saying them. And she got to thinking, wow, why did I say that to my mom? Now, she might not apologize to you right away, but at some point she will. You know, that's the way our Lord is. You know, so don't let the devil just bring you down.
Well, it is not that. My daughter is in many ways young, and she struggles with having faith. And when she believes that she is going to be protected, and when she gets disappointed, this doesn't hurt me because of what she said to me. Come on, I mean, I raised kids. I'm pretty tough about that kind of thing. It's really, you can't hurt my feelings. But it hurt me because I thought something has shaken her faith in God. And so I had to say, Lord, you're going to have to go out and you're going to have to do something to let this girl know that you are there for her. And so it wasn't personal, you know, because
A lot of the Lord, what the Lord told me just now about that situation was that He said, I'm not the one that caused that problem. You know, it did not come from me. It was the enemy that did that. The Lord said, but I'm the one that can resolve that problem and fix it. So instead of, you know, being upset about the situation, it's best to ask God to resolve the situation. Because He said, I'm not the one that caused it, but I'm the one that can fix it. So that's what your daughter and you need to, you know, and we can pray for that too. We need to resolve. God doesn't cause these things, but He can sure fix them just as fast, and you know He can. So, so that's what we need to put our energy in, to Him, to pray to have Him fix that, rather than to, you know, give the enemy credit for what he did, because we're essentially just glorifying the enemy for what he did, and your daughter did by saying that, right? So the heck with him, we're going to glorify God and get the situation fixed, because we know God can provide the money. God can do anything. He can provide that money. He can turn around that situation. He can restore faith that way, too. You know?
Thank
you.
What's
for evil, God brings to good.
That's what he told me to do. So let's, Kara, why don't you say a prayer that we restore the situation with the money and all the things that are needed, everything that was stolen to replace, and we ask for sevenfold back. You know, Lord, we ask for sevenfold back that whatever was taken from her daughter. We have a right to it. We know the Bible says we get sevenfold back. We ask that daughter and her get sevenfold back for everything that was taken, stolen. We want everything replaced back and better than it was before, Lord. And we ask for timing on this to be urgent and do this quickly. In Jesus' name. We all agree on that as well.
Amen.
Daughter,
we all agree
on
that. Amen, Lord. Yes, restore unto her everything that was stolen from her to shame the devil. And you restore to her seven times over to the glory and praise of your name. And help her, Holy Spirit, to draw back close to the Lord. And to trust you with all her heart, with all her soul, with all her might, with all her strength, that you may get the glory and the devil be put to shame once and for all.
Amen.
This works that he's a thief. He's nothing but a thief. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. You know, but you, Lord, you are our deliverer and our restorer. And you just restore everything that was stolen to her, according to your word, seven times over, to the glory and praise of your name. And we thank you, Lord, for receiving our petition. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Church, thank you. I just wanted to share the story about the tornado. I didn't mean to slip into that.
But that's good you did.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm genuinely in tears.
Well, God meant it to be, honey, because He knows we pray for you and help you.
Well, see, this
we're family.
You know, this is what's so awesome about this awesome church. We just go with the flow, with whatever the Holy Spirit is doing, and He starts, you know, you started sharing one thing, but he wanted you to add something else to it so we could all stand in agreement in prayer for your daughter and for anybody's needs. That's what we do. We're a faith. We're really a word of faith church, and we're really a praying church, and we're a believing church, and we are.
I mean, that was a direct word from God that told me about that situation. So he obviously, he's planning on turning it around. So we're resting that. But yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Wow. Let me read you one paragraph. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Because I think you'll like this, honey. He says, look at me. Do you trust me? Do you hope in me? Unwaveringly, unreservedly, the hope I want you to have transcends death, since I am all in all to you. Haven't you told me that? I needed to tell you that. Trust.
And everybody in chat is also... saying that they're praying faith and restoration for your daughter Alana. Everybody is in agreement, and God is going to do wonderful things. Because it's about Him. He loves us, and the devil has stolen what is rightfully His, which is us. Okay? But we've been redeemed back to Him, and the devil still doesn't want us to believe it. Well, it's too bad. That's his loss. And God gets the glory.
Yeah.
And no weapon formed against your daughter, no weapon formed against you, no weapon formed against any of us is going to succeed or prosper. Because we belong to the Lord.
Amen.
And we are covered by His word. We are covered by His blood. We are covered by His love. And we're going home. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. We're all in church that goes on and on about how close we are going home. So we want the Lord is restoring everything to us. He's just restoring it to us just to give us that extra push in faith so we can be excited about going home.
Yeah.
Praise God. And that's our next plan. That's the best plan of all. Whenever you look at the future and you start thinking about, what will the next few months be like? I just think, I'm going to be out of here. We're all going home. Thank God. I mean, that's the best plan of all.
Yeah.
It is. That's what keeps us going. If it wasn't for that knowing, and it is a knowing, okay, we have all the signs from the word. We have the prophetic words, and we have it registered in our spirit that we are going. If we didn't have that knowing within us that we are leaving to be with Him in the air, do you know how depressing it would be?
That's why it's called the blessed hope.
For us all?
Why it's called the blessed hope.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Was it last night we had a... We had somebody from Australia in chat.
Debbie?
And he was saying that, nobody in Australia, none of the churches in Australia talk about the Lord's return.
Exactly.
And somebody said, they're not alone because so many of people here don't either.
No.
So he was really excited, huh, to be talking about it, huh, in the chat room and found RCC?
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Wow. Great.
Dave too.
Yeah.
Dave who called.
Great.
Yeah. I mean, we're touching the hearts of so many people. We're giving so many people hope because the hope of our glory is leaving, and we have all the proof that we're leaving. This is not.
Oh.
You know what? If this was 1945,
forget it.
When World War II was happening, okay, and people, if we picture ourselves living at that time and we're in the Lord, we would all be saying, well, Hitler must be the Antichrist. Well, guess what? Israel had not been born again as a nation. The prophecy, they could say all they wanted that, he might he might be an antichrist, but that he was the antichrist that we were about to leave, we couldn't.
Yeah,
I mean,
because Israel was never involved. I mean,
no,
Israel was,
I was born
involved,
before Israel. I was born in 1943. Little bird here.
Wow.
I'm too old.
Yeah.
That started,
see,
that
war.
Oh, no. I was born during the war. My father was,
I was
in
watching
the army.
I was watching a video today on Catherine Coleman when she came to Las Vegas in 1975, and they showed her getting off the plane, and they showed all the casinos, and man, I love that woman. She's just so, it's a
oh,
powerful woman for the Lord.
Well,
yeah. I watched her video, and I got the Holy Spirit so strong. I was just,
yeah,
she's so wonderful the way she's dressed and just really cool.
I know.
She was in her limo, and she was talking about the casinos and all the pleasure, and she said, "But I'm going to give you spiritual pleasure is coming now when I enter into that stadium, that convention center." But it's funny because back then when she gave her speech in 1975, she said, okay, you know, you're all listening to the news. It looks like the world is coming to an end with the wars and everything. We're right at that. You know, it's like you're saying, Carol. She's like, we're right at that moment now. But I thought, but Israel's not involved because remember the oil embargo. So they thought it was all, that was it, you know. And I'm thinking, but if she only knew now, though, well, she knows because she's in heaven. But I thought,
she's right.
Israel was not involved, so life is fighting
for us.
Exactly. I thought that's why we skip all those dates, because once again, but I thought, gosh, when I was saying that, like, Catherine, if you only knew what was going on now, but
she
you
does.
Do, but
she
you
does.
Know what I mean? Like,
pray for us, my
compared
dear.
Compared now to then, I'm like, we're really there now. We were not there then. We're
no,
there.
No, not then. No, not then.
That's right. That's what's so exciting. That's what really gives us. Yeah, that's what really gives me hope. Because you know, you all know I am a Bible thumper. I love the Word of God, and you know, I'm like, I do all the searching, and then I look and see, ooh, everything is matching what the Word of God is saying. So yeah, all right. You know, that gets me excited. And and then when Hamas said to Netanyahu just a few days ago, you come after us, the gates of hell are going to open. And what is Israel doing? Going after them. So
Israel doesn't play. They're like a hornet. If you hit a hornet's nest, you know, man, they come sting you to death.
You know, if the gates of hell are opening, that means we are leaving. That's what that means.
And you know, it's from the Bible. It's from what he said in the Bible. Israel becoming a state in 1948. A generation of 70 years. Gospel is preached around the world. Look at the books of Daniel that he had to close up. I mean, and then look at everybody else getting this. I mean, and the sign of the times. I mean, what other sign are we looking for? What? There's nothing else to look for.
Right.
It's all there. It's right in front of our face. Everything that was said is right now. Is right now. Everything
so what do you
Jesus
think
said.
That Israel becomes a nation, so then that would put us at 2000.
He said, remember he said
18,
this generation
right?
shall not pass away?
Right.
That's
right.
Our generation. What's
that's
generation? 70 years? 70 years?
70 years is that 2018?
Yeah, but we're right at 2015 almost. It doesn't mean he's going to go right to the end of the age. We're in it right now. We're right at the door. He doesn't mean he's
going
to, this generation will not pass away. This generation will not pass away. Doesn't mean that we have to go all the way to 18. We're right in it right now.
No, but I'm thinking 18 is, see, I'm always thinking that 18 might be the second coming. The days were shortened on the tribulation era. We might be in the last 3.5 years of the great tribulation ready to start and go. And then, see what I'm saying?
But just look at the world the way it is. Every day it's another catastrophe. Now Israel and Gaza are at each other. I mean, where is this going to go?
Fukushima's ready
to go. This is very serious. Because they've got thousands of rockets to shoot into Israel. Thousands.
40,000.
Yeah.
They're ready to roll.
I mean, that's Israel's toast. Unless God intervenes.
Wow. That's why ISIS is getting, Israel's getting crazy on Hamas, and Hamas getting crazy, and ISIS is getting crazy.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, and Iran says, yeah, go for it. They're all rooting everyone. They're backing weapons behind everyone. You've got all three powers here going crazy at one time.
They'll all cancel each other out. We won't have to lift a finger.
Yeah.
And let's not forget all the earthquakes and all the
crazy stuff.
You know, there's a
volcano
mega
going off
typhoon. the typhoon that's going on.
Fukushima.
The Lord is shaking. Yeah, Fukushima. The Lord is shaking everything up.
Definitely. And we're watching it, and like, you know, with bated breath to fly.
And then we've got crazy stuff going on here with the immigrants, and I mean.
Oh, this is crazy. This is crazy.
The government's doing crazy stuff, so.
I know.
It's all, just, you know.
Also, another exciting time frame way to look at it, the way I do, is the importance of 1914 is undebatable, and that's exactly one full generation measured by God's time, 100 years. 70 years
is
a generation, depending on our health, so on and so forth. So that's the more exciting time frame I concentrate on. I always have. It's just become more exciting now that we're in 2014. But ever since a young age, it's always been 1914. And now it is exactly one generation after that. So it's on. Yeah. It's fully on.
We're right at the door.
Okay, cool.
We're at the door.
We sure are.
We kind of opened
Red Blood
the door,
here.
And we're looking for Jesus behind the door saying, where are you?
Yes, and we're in a Red Blood Moon years, and we've got two.
Yes.
The Red Blood Moon means Israel's at war. We've got three more of those, and we've got two solar eclipses coming, which means the world's going to be at war. Those always represent that. So we've got two world wars coming between now and the next year, and we've got Israel three more times at war between now and the next year. And we've got a super moon coming next year. And the next year is an economic collapse because it's 7 years from the Jubilee, which falls in September 2015. And then I think we're going to have a minor correction in the stock market probably any time in the next month or two, maybe this month, people are talking about. So we've got, like, so many things that have to happen in the tribulation. It's not even funny. We're just the first one. We have to get out of Dodge because everything has to start. Like, we've got to get out because everything has to start. And there's 1,000 events that have to happen in the tribulation, probably 2,000. There's so many events.
Wow.
We're just the first one. We're the gatekeeper. When we leave, the gate's open. So we've got to go. Like, that's why we've got to get the heck out. And
for
we're the first domino to
28th.
Start to effect, domino effect.
Yeah.
And that's why the time is now urgent where we have to go. Like, the Lord said, he's going to take his eyes off the bride and put it on Israel because we're going to be in heaven, and that's it. Got to put it on Israel, you know?
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. What a time. But I have peace.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. I just feel my heart breaks for the ones suffering through all this, who just the ones who are suffering through all this. Hopefully it will cause conversions and people turn to God and say, whoa, what's happening? You know, like, I think I'm going to change my thinking around here. I think I'm going to start praying more or something, because it's going to scare everybody. I mean, we're at peace because we know. But others aren't, so.
Most people are still asleep. And
yes, they are.
Nothing will change their minds unless they're in the middle of the tribulation. Electricity goes out and cell phones go out and all their gadgets go out. Because otherwise, they don't care. They're not paying attention. They won't wake up is the word. Yeah, they won't wake up. So, you know, you see it every day. You go to the store and everywhere you go, they're just not waking up. So, I told the Lord today, I said, I really wish you would do a revival before the rapture. And he told me, he goes, well, even if I did, nobody would pay attention anyway. They go, you're probably right.
Well, there you go. There you go. Or so few.
He told me.
So few.
And he gave me an example of a couple of people that I know that clearly would not pay attention. Even if I called them and said, there's a revival going on, they'd be like, okay, Keith,
have a nice day.
Gotta go. Bye. So he said they wouldn't pay attention anyway. So I was like, all right, then let's just get raptured and let's get out of here. I told him, let's go right now. And
this sounds like a good conversation, Keith.
That's what I tell them. I tell them. I say, either one, give us the resources. I tell the Lord every day, give us the resources to go do a huge revival. We would need help. We need money. We need resources to advance your kingdom. If not, then take
wings.
A dollar now. Let's go. Let's roll. One of the two.
Well, you know what? Ever since 2005, when I became super raptor-centric and was studying the Word, and I was going to a church then, and they were not rapture centric, but they did believe the Lord was coming in our
bazillion
generation,
years from now.
You know, whatever, and they were praying for whenever they would mention the Lord coming, they would mention having a huge revival before he came. Oh, when the Lord says we're going to have a big revival. And I'm like, I wouldn't say anything, but these were my thoughts. No, the Bible says that the real, I mean, in my opinion, the real revival is going to happen after we leave, because that's when they're going to get.
You're going to need it.
That's when they're going to wake up, right? And then the other thought that came to me was this. If there's a big revival, I already know how people are, okay? They're going to get all excited, and they're going to be blessed with all the material things, mm-hmm. and they're not going to want the Lord to come, because they're content with all the, I got my healing. Believe me, I want us all to be healed. I'm not, don't get me wrong, but I already know how if people are not super glued to the Lord, all they want is to be healed so that they can go out and party again and live like the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what a lot of these huge revivals are. You know, Lord healed me and he did this and he did that and I no longer have this pain or that pain. And I'm thinking, do you know the Word of God at all? Do you have a relationship with him?
Revivals, and when I went back and studied all the revivals, it was just what Carol was saying. Mm-hmm. I went back and studied every great revival in America, everything about them. Within a year after they were done, within months to a year, everybody was completely off. They forgot all about God and everything else.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the churches have always preached revival. In fact, it's so funny because my discernment gift is so sharp. And people are always sending me, Keith, can you discern this for me? I'm sending you this word from this sister, blah, blah, blah. Oh, man, it's not even 5 words I can get into something. And I start going, oh, boy, this must be from a church person. Okay, keep going. I'll keep reading it. Oh. I can just tell if it's from a church. Because it's always like revival, revival, revival. And a lot of the churches preach revival because what they want you to do is we're going to have a revival, so we want you to show up in our church, tithe a lot more money to us. We want you to give you all our money so we can buy a bigger building because we're going to have a big revival. So we need, the pastor needs a new car. We need a better sound stage. All the churches preach revival, and it's not biblical, like Carol said, flat out. It's not, and that's what God told me before. Not biblical. So it's only biblical in the tribulation, not before that. So a lot of it is, they preach it to get everybody. But yet, if you talk, so the revival makes it sound like it's so godly, but it actually is not. Because when you talk about, oh my gosh, I'm so excited about God's power, I hope we get the revival, I can't wait till the Lord comes back, then all of a sudden they'll go quiet on you. See what I'm saying? It's not
exactly.
The same thing to them.
There you go.
Right?
That's how you know they don't want them. They don't want a real revival because the revival is a different. It's a different gospel. It's not one that when you say we're having a revival and Jesus is coming, that they rejoice. They don't rejoice. Yep. They shut up, and they don't want you to. What are the famous last words they're going to say? Yes, but no one knows the day or the hour. And that's your cue to not. Not talk about it. Don't say a word about his coming. Yep. That makes me so mad.
I know, because Carol, they don't want to. They're not into all that. Like you said, they don't want to hear all that. That's why that revival is fake. It's like it's all in words. It's just religious. It's fake. It's words. It's not real.
Exactly. And you hit it so right on the money. It's about, the Lord... giving them a bigger building and a bigger car.
Oh, yeah.
Bigger...
I mean, look at some of these ministries like Matt Sorger and some of them, some of these more mainstream Christians that travel around the country. You pay $85 or $100. There's going to be Matt Sorger there and a few other ones there doing their, they're doing their little ministry. But and they're always, James Gauls, it's all about revival, every one of them. It's a revival.
Mm-hmm.
It's a theme. And I'm like, yeah, so you go pay your $100, and then they're going to sell you the CDs and the tapes, but if you raise your hand and start talking about the rapture, they're going to shut you down and escort you right out of there.
That's another thing that used to, that started getting my spirit, mad in the Lord. Okay, You'd go to the church services, and I'm not saying that they weren't, you know, anointed and the Holy Spirit was there. Yeah, I got all that, you know, and I got helped a lot too, you know. So I'm not totally criticizing, but I'll tell you what. They became like the church of the money changers, because
wow.
In the back of the room, you know, they didn't sell Bibles. They sold all their CDs and other teachers' teachings and all other teachings, you know, and everything else but Bibles. No, if you want a Bible, you have to go out to a bookstore or
Barnes
online and buy it. You know, and they didn't tell you. They never told you. If you don't have a Bible, go get yourself a Bible and start reading it. Oh, no. Go to the back of the room and get today's teaching. And while you're at it, get last week's teachings, too. You know, and if you want the series on faith, go buy. We have a series on faith. You know, you want a series on healing? We have one on healing.
Yeah, we're trying to replace the Bible.
And that really, you know, don't even get me there, because,
Well, you know what Jesus did with the money changers, right? I mean, Jesus took his, he went to the temple, right? So that's what he tells about all that.
Yeah. And that's right? they don't get it. You know, they don't get it. And there was another time where, you know, the church I was going to knew a lot of the big time, you know, the big name preachers and ministers, the TV folks, right? Okay. And every so often, every year, they would have a I forget what it called, but a week of guests. So they would call it a week of celebration, and they would bring all these different well-known preachers, you know, to the service, right? And they would teach a little bit. Some of them were more well-known than others. Okay, but this one time, and I don't want to mention his name, but you'll know who I'm talking about. There was it was during Katrina, and this is when I started wondering about some things. Too, you know, I love the way the Lord opened our eyes. So, Katrina was wreaking havoc in New Orleans, and pastor gets up and says, "Family, we're going to send $20,000 to this particular pastor who's in the New Orleans area because of." Of Katrina, right? And, you know, and we didn't have a vote. He said we were sending it, and, well, you know how God is. He talked to him and told him to send it. So he's just letting us know that that's what he was doing. Okay. Well, that particular well-known minister had never come to that particular church. So money sent, and lo and behold, you know, the Katrina never touched his building and his ministry. Just a few places here and there where some people lived. And hey, hallelujah, glory to God. Okay. Now, 6 months later, when they had that service, that celebration service of that week. Guess who was one of the guest speakers? And I thought to myself, now I know how it works. I scratch your back and you scratch mine. Mm-hmm. I give you so much money, but when it comes to, you know, you have to return the favor by coming over and speaking to us because, see, he is a big crowd drawer. He draws a lot of people. So you know there was going to be a lot of money coming into that service. And that's when I realized, now I know how all this works. And my stomach just started turning. And, you know, from that point on, I just started getting away from,
from the TV preachers.
It's wrecked the churches. It's just, I mean, the Bible says six out of, the Bible talks about seven churches in Revelation. Six out of seven are going to hell. The Bible says it, unless they repent and change their ways. And it's the reason why is because, and it mentions each one and what their sin was. Most of it revolves around money and all that whole thing with the church. I mean, you know, there's that popular, a lot of people have seen the Sid Roth show. I love Sid Roth. He has great stuff on that show.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's kind of suspicious when you, if you notice, if you go back to the last 3 years, because I always check all the healing stuff on there, you'll see, like, Joan Hunter, for instance, she'll be on there one time, and then 3 months earlier, she's on there again with her other book, and then 3 months earlier, she's on there with the other book, and then she says that she sends all her tithes to Sid Roth. And then if you go back, you'll see the same people over and over. They come up with a new book, and then they're on Sid Roth, and they get a bunch of money, come up with a new book. It's like the constant rotating five or six people doing all the same thing. I said, Lord, this does not make sense to me. Wait a minute. This is like I scratch your back, you scratch mine. I said, I thought these people were of God. I thought, what's going on? This does not make any sense. They write a book, and then they go on Sid Roth. Everybody buys the book, and he says, you'll get healed if you buy the book. And then they turn around 3 months later, they have another product out. I said, this sounds like everybody's sending tithes to them in order to get on the show with their new book to make more money. I said, is this the modern Christian world that we're living in? Because it is all money. All. And then you go check your mailbox, and you've got 500 envelopes. At any given time, there's 20 envelopes in the mail from all these ministries that want more money. And I said, this whole thing is crazy. I said, we need to, like, the whole church needs to be cleaned out because it's just, you know.
And he was another one, Keith, that went to, that one day went to that church, you know, that I told you I was attending. And the pastor actually told us, you know, that he was going to, you know, these are his words. The Lord told me to call Sid Roth and tell him that he needed to come and speak to our church. So I called Sid Roth, and Sid Roth says, well, I don't go to small churches, and, you know, I don't go to, you know, my fees are $25,000. And the pastor then said, well, you pray about it and get back with me. And lo and behold, Sid Roth called him back and said, the Lord told me to go to your church.
This makes no sense to me. And yet if I buy a book on there, it's $35, but yet it takes them a month to send it to me. And Amazon takes 2 days. So why do the Christian organizations taking a month? I said, Lord, this is just... And like,
it's,
you know, they're telling you you're going to get healed
awful.
If you buy the book. They would tell you a month to send it, and you're going to pay $35 for it. See, just the whole thing is just, it's turned into, like, the problem is the Lord showed me is that, you know, in the past, when people, they preach from the Bible, but then the problem is they wanted to start expanding their churches. So they started listening to what the people were saying. Because people didn't show up. They don't want to hear about obedience. So they started speaking, instead of speaking from the Bible, they started telling the people what they wanted to hear so that they would tithe more and get more people in their church. The next thing you know, you've got these mega churches now where you're telling them exactly what they want to hear. So they're going to show up, bring their friends, and you're going to have a lot of money, and everything's going to be good. So you're really catering to the money. You know, you don't want to upset the pocketbooks, which is the people sitting in the pews. And so you just tell them what they want to hear. And then you just don't even, you don't preach the word. You just say one verse, two words, and you just go on for an hour about relationships like Joel Osteen or some of that stuff, and you just don't preach the word. And that's what's happened today. It's gotten far off from the David Wilkerson's where they're preaching true obedience in the word. And that's why we have all these buildings and all these churches, and there's not nothing going on for the Lord anymore. There's no, God's power is not there. The Holy Spirit left town, you know.
And that's why they don't want him to come. You know, they have, I don't know, I do know, they don't want, I mean, they will talk about we're living in the last days, and that's as much as they can say, period.
Yes.
Okay, we're living in the last days, so let's get a revival going. You know,
revival by man is not going to do it. Keith brought up, it's already been written in the living word about the seven churches. Only the church of Philadelphia made it. The other six, Ephesus was spit out of his mouth. That's how disgusted he was because they were just lukewarm.
Exactly.
This is his living word. Our Father is the beginning and the end. This has already happened. Let them try a revival all they want. Only one church of the seven is going to make it.
Yeah.
That's true.
Cool boy.
And that's why the church that church that is going to make it, that Philadelphia church, that's the bride that God pulled from all the gutters and all the churches and all those places. He pulled them all out of those places, and he put them on RCC and places where Facebook and YouTube where they can meet, because they don't have a four-wall building.
Exactly.
So they've got to meet through all this.
Right. Exactly. And we don't collect tithes and offerings and we don't have a board of directors and and all this other we don't have a corporation. We're not a corporation.
And the only way the way we're drawn like a magnet is we raise the rapture flag, and then everyone goes that, you know, comes across it goes, oh wow, okay, now there's people out there that believe in the rapture. That's me. So it's like a magnet, you know, that we raise the rapture flag.
Exactly.
And the only way we can pull those people out there, you know.
And think about how many people have already told us, you know, they've called in and say, wow, you know, I'm just calling in to let you know that I love listening to your show because, you know, you're all different from everybody else. And, you know, we don't have preachers. I mean, we're all preachers. We don't have any, but we're all preachers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any preachers, but we're all preaching. You know, we don't let anybody, you know, somebody's got to man the phones, but it's not that person's controlling them. The Lord is our, is our pastor. Mm-hmm. He is our shepherd. And going back to Philadelphia, you know, guys, I've got to read this. I've got to read what the angel of the church in Philadelphia says, because this should be so, so encouraging for everyone, all right?
Yes.
He says, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door which no one can shut, because you have a little power and have kept my word and have not denied my name. So I put before you an open door which no one can shut, and I put that open door before you that no one can shut, because you have a little strength. You have a little power. But you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. Behold, I'm going to cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. I am going to make them come and bow down at your feet and make them know that I have loved you. That's what the Lord is going to do. That's not we're not telling them to bow down, you know, at our feet. The Lord is going to have them do that. And he's going to let them know that he loved us, because we have kept the word of his perseverance. And because we've kept the word of his perseverance, he is going to keep us from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Well, that's tribulation. You know, he's gonna come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. We've already passed the test.
That's the rapture.
He's already
everyone
told
always
us.
Those people on YouTube say, well, there's no rapture verses in the Bible. I don't see any anymore. It was all made up. I said, go to Revelation 3:10. There you go. Carol just read it. I told you from the hour of trial. I said, there's no, that is the most perfect rapture verse in all the Bible. It's talking, one, to the end time church that is going to the rapture. It's in the book of Revelation, which we know is about the future.
Yep.
It says the hour of trial that is going to happen, which is talking about the future now. So we know it hasn't happened. It's not back in the Old Testament. And it's talking about the fact that I withhold you from the hour of trial. Right there is your perfect pre-trib rapture verse, right there.
Exactly. And then,
yeah.
even though you know, he doesn't condemn us, he does give us a little bit of a warning. He tells us, I am coming quickly, hold fast what you have so that no one will take your crown. Okay, and see, we've been, you know, and this... I laugh because so many of us have gotten a little bit weary since we all started, you know, getting so excited that he's coming today. All right? We're not going to lose. Nobody's going to lose their salvation. But how many people have kind of just dwindled away and, you know, I'm sure they're still believing in the Lord's coming and whatever.
They don't have the fire.
But they're not sharing the excitement anymore. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he just tells us, listen, don't get weary.
Yeah.
All right? Hold fast to what you have. And what do we have? The excitement of the rapture that is coming,
blessed
the salvation.
Hope.
Okay? The blessed hope. Right. And he says, hold on to that so that no one takes your crown. Why? Because the crown, remember, I've shared with you guys, there are at least 5 crowns listed in the Bible. The crown of life, the crown of righteousness, the crown of rejoicing, the incorruptible crown, and the crown of glory. Woo-hoo!
Crown of martyrdom.
The crown of righteousness is the crown we receive for loving his appearing, for wanting him to come for us.
And we're
so
to encourage each other with those words.
Exactly. And so if we get discouraged and start murmuring and saying, well, you know, where is the word of his promise? He said he was coming, but he's, you know, we've been waiting and waiting and waiting, and we keep hearing that he's coming today, and he's still not here, and it's this month, and it was last month, and it was the month before that, and, okay, you know what? If we get weary and stop believing that he is coming, we can lose that crown. We're not going to lose our salvation, and we may be raptured, but we're not going to get that crown. You know, he's just telling us there. So that is, I love Revelation 3 when he's talking to the Philadelphia church. It is the most encouraging scriptures. And I hope people that are listening got a little bit encouraged by what we just heard.
Yeah, there's that part in right before, when it's talking to Revelation 3, Carol, a little bit earlier, it also says for the people that are tired, that the Lord says, it says, I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue. So basically saying, you know, I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied. In other words, you know, you may not be out there fighting major battles and being on the warrior, but it's basically
stayed the
saying,
course.
Even though you're tired and exhausted, even though you're tired and exhausted, you stayed the course, you've kept my word, and you've not denied me.
And that's still hanging on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, Pat.
See, and
exactly.
that is the hope of glory. That he tells us, you know what? You all have a little strength. You all have a little strength, but I'm going to keep you from the hour that's coming, that hour of testing. You know, and so he doesn't expect a lot from us. He's not expecting these great big revivals. He's not expecting that we have these mega churches, that we give all this money to the churches, that we do this, that we do that. You know, he doesn't expect any of that. Because anything that we do in our flesh is dung anyway. It has to be him. So if it's not him, it ain't worth diddly squat. And so we have a lot to be excited about. Not just encouraged, but a lot to be excited about.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah. So maybe this should be a...
I want you to read something.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I read that first paragraph. The second one is, he says, you look for me in the beauty of the rose, in the voice of the nightingale on the terrace, in the song of the cuckoo from the island that comes winging its way to you over the lorry, in the brilliant stars of a May night. You see, then you are part of the... Oh, wait. Oh, what did I do? Oh, I missed the whole thing here. I'm missing pages. Oh, okay. But what he's saying is that Look for me in the beings made in my likeness and image above all else. You know. So over here he's saying, remember how I loved oneness. When two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, because union two is love, and I am love. Don't be afraid to lose your personality. You benefit from all the others. These bouquets, these baskets of flowers around my altars are but a faint and far-off image of the people united together to love me. In your thoughts, place those you have commended to my care near my tabernacle. He's talking, she was at church. And I'll draw them to me. How could my heart fail to bless those in your care? Would that be like the measure of my love? During this octave of Corpus Christi, which is the body of Christ that she was involved in with church, love with all men, adore with all men, hope with all men, and yearn. And she says, when will you come to get me, my dear love? I am ready to go without any regrets, so that I may be with you. It sounds like us. He says, be united. Mm-hmm. Yeah, be united with all those who have called for my kingdom to come and my day to dawn within them. Be spent with loving enthusiasm for my house. Act as though I had entrusted the victory to your littleness. What wouldn't you do to be equal to your task? Let the fire of your zeal consume you. May I not expect this of you? You ask and I fulfill. You see, once again, this is oneness. And she says, in the evening the nightingale had ceased to sing, and Jesus said, he has finished his little day, but you, child, will sing to me throughout all eternity. Aha. Appropriate.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. See, I'll just read things, and they're in front of my face, and I haven't even looked for them, but he always seems to manage to get something in there to go with the theme. Go with the whole.
Really?
Yeah. He's a sweetheart, Jesus. He is. He wants us all
saved. There's a whole bunch of people on the phone. Anybody else want to add to the discussion and the conversation? Any dreams, any visions, any word from the Lord? Oh, everybody's in listening mode. They're just in awe with what we've been sharing.
Oh, sure. It's to encourage everybody.
Well, there's, you know, people in chat are talking about, when we're expecting him, you know, we expecting him, in a nutshell, I'm expecting the Lord to come this month in July. Okay, I had I had that anointing fall on me, you know, last week, and because what is happening in Israel and all over the world. I think this is a very, 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 very high expectant month. I just really, really think things are going to start. They've already started revving up. And I don't think there's a point of any return. You know, I don't think people are, you know, those guys, you know, that those Islamic terrorists, there's ISIS, they're growing in strength. They're growing in power, and they're just using any excuse to attack Israel and to get everybody united. You know, there's three main denominations in the Islamic church, if you want to call it that, and those are the Kurds,
Sunnis,
the Kurds, the Sunnis, and the Shiites.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of them wants to take control wants to control all of them. Oh, and Tracy is also reminding us that the blood moon is very accurate for Israel. And that's the other great big sign, because, you know, we've mentioned this before and we'll mention it again. Those blood moons that you know, that came to light have everything to do with Israel. It's a warning to Israel that something bad is about to happen to them.
Mm.
It has nothing to do with the only sign it would be to us is, hey, pay attention to what's going on in Israel. Because,
yeah.
you know, whatever happens to Israel just means that, you know, the bride is leaving before, you know, before God deals with the Jews. And we're starting to see, you know, the blood moon, the first blood moon occurred in April on Passover, April 15th. And so many of us were like, okay, what's happening? Nothing. Come May, nothing. And then June, we started seeing some activity. And look where it is now. That blood moon is warning Israel, hey, you know, you're in danger. You better look to me. And what did Hamas just tell Israel? You attack us and we're going to open the gates of hell. And today, you know, Israel put 40,000 troops on high alert, you know, and because of the rockets that were exploding around Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. You know, things are really revving up, which for me is just telling, that's the sign. That is the sign that the Lord is telling us, get ready. I am coming for you. You know, I don't know. I mean, I'm believing with all my heart that this is the month. This is the month. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But when we leave, things are really going to. They're really gonna. Get back for the world, that's where Revelation 3 comes in. The testing of the world is now going to come to pass, and all those church people that have been so blessed by all the big houses and the big cars and. You know, and the big ministries and a name for themselves. You know, they're on the same page as the celebrities of Hollywood. Everybody knows who so and so is, and everybody knows who so and so is, and they're neighbors with these celebrities. Yeah, a lot of those people are going to be left behind.
Hopefully,
because they're the ones that they're the ones who say up. No man knows the day no one knows the day or the hour, so don't talk about the Lord returning. They don't want people to know. They don't want people to read the Word of God. They just want them to continue buying their books and their CDs and their teachings and keep inviting your neighbors to go to church. There ain't gonna be that the four walled churches. In heaven, there ain't going to be denominations. There's just one body, and that body belongs to Christ, and we are His body. And when we're all together, you know, I mean, this is the only place that nobody has ever asked, what church do you go to? Do you know how many people I've talked to and I've encouraged and blessed, you know, and they're like, oh, wow. You know, you really have an anointing on you. What church do you go to?
Yep. Oh yeah. And they never mention God though. Hey Carol, they'll never mention God or Jesus. You always find go to any church person and they always say, what church do you go to? So I'll say, my brother and I, well, we don't go to church. And they're like, what? No, we don't go to church. We just believe in the Bible and we follow it and that's it. And then they're like, well, you don't have a pastor, so they either talk pastor or church. They'll never hear the word God or Jesus come out of their mouth. I'm telling you, it's always
right.
Pastor,
you
church,
need,
over and over.
Right.
We mention
and
Jesus,
and
they're talking about Jesus,
church.
And they're talking about the pastor and the church. And I go, we always go, we don't care about that, we care about Jesus. And then they go back to the pastor. Well, you need to come to my church because of my pastor. Like, we don't care about the pastor. So that's the difference. You can tell in their terminology because Jesus is not on their lips, not on their mouth. They're not. He's not in their mind and their heart. They're not. You speak what you believe. They don't speak Jesus. They don't believe it.
Right. And after I'm just giving myself as an example, right? After I just encouraged them and blessed them and ministered to them, and they're like, wow. And they and the next words are, the next question is, where do you go to church? And I'll say, I don't. I meet and fellowship with people wherever, all people that love the Lord and are born again. I meet and fellowship with everybody. Oh, well, you need to be going to a church. You need to be going to a church. Now, let me tell you about my church. You can come to my church. If you don't have a home church, come to my church, And the pastor's really good. I start getting lectured when I'm, quote, going to church.
A minute ago, Carol, they were telling you how anointed you are. They're telling you how anointed you are a minute ago, and then 5 minutes later, they're telling you you need to go to our church and learn.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly my point. Tracy and a couple of people have mentioned that the Pope said that we cannot have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ without the church. And he said, don't fall into that temptation then and think that you can have a relationship with Jesus Christ, without the church.
He said it was dangerous, Carol. He said it was dangerous to have a relationship with Jesus.
That it was dangerous. Dangerous.
That doesn't make any
Lord.
Sense. Doesn't make sense.
no, it doesn't. It does not make sense. Our relationship comes, we do need fellowship one with another.
Yes.
And we have it. We are the church. We have God's word. We have him. We have God's love. We have God's spirit, God's presence. What are you all talking about? That we can't have a personal relationship. All these people
if you don't, you're toast.
Don't have a personal relationship.
If you don't, you're toast. If you don't pay attention to him and invite him into your life and eat, sleep, and drink him and be the number one, he's number one, then where are you? What are you doing? Where does your life?
Right.
Who's number one in your life then if it isn't Jesus?
Yeah.
He wants to be number
that,
one. What do you think he and I is all about?
Their,
it's all
their
about
jobs,
relationship.
Their money or, if God's not number one, their money, their God
well,
would be money.
Well, then the devil will draw you
or,
the other way if you don't pay attention to
or
Christ.
Or the world. Or their job, or being a celebrity, or their career, music, whatever is their hobby or their passion.
You'll have other things to take you away from him if you don't pay attention to him and invite him in and have that relationship with him. He has to be number one, and he will not take second place, let me tell you right now.
No.
No.
Yeah.
No.
If
you don't have a relationship with Christ,
Pat's going to have a new ad campaign that says, if you don't have Jesus, you're toast.
Well, yeah, you are.
And no, it's a good one. If you don't have Jesus, you're toast.
It is a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's
it
not,
is
not
a
enough
good one.
Suntan lotion for south of the border there, I'm telling you. And if you don't have a relationship with him, if you don't love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit, like the first two commandments, then what are you doing? Who's your idol? That who's your God then? The world, the flesh, the devil? What? If it isn't Jesus, someone else is going to replace it.
I think.
And you're in trouble.
And don't you all see the hearts of men growing colder?
Oh yes.
And growing harder.
We were told that these days would be like this. It's in the Bible that the hearts of men will grow cold. Disrespect.
And
I mean, it's like
have,
30 things named. It's all in there in the Bible. It's like reading the passage.
Yeah.
And
that's
what's
happening. That's what's really happening. We're really seeing it come
to
pass, which is just another sign that we're getting ready to.
He told us. He told us how the days would be. It's all listed there. And it's happening. It's here.
Right.
It's overdue.
Yep. Hallelujah yeah. to the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
Lord, we love you.
We do.
Thank you for this time that you brought us together. You know, we have about 2 minutes, two and a half minutes before the show's up. But we want to glorify you and worship you and thank you for all the revelation you bestowed on us and everything that you spoke to us to be aware that to encourage us that we are leaving. We are leaving any moment. And you wanted us to know, you know, what the dead, you know, the dead religious people are doing in addition to the lawless people out there who have no consideration for you, who have pushed you out. You know, well, the religious people have done a disservice to you too. And just like you had mercy on us, Lord, in these last moments, turn the hearts of so many and reveal yourself to them just like you revealed to yourself to us, that they may repent for pushing you aside, for listening to man and not to your spirit. And we say, we have 90 seconds left, so let us shout out the Spirit and the Bride. Say, come.
Come, get us.
Come, Lord
come,
Jesus.
Lord, come, Lord Jesus.
Come, get us.
Love you, Lord.
Oh,
love
we're
you.
Waiting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Love you, Pat. Love you, Carol. Love everybody in the chat room.
Okay, love you all.
Calling in today. Thanks
yeah,
for being in the
love
chat
you
room.
All. Love yeah. chat, love people online, love people out
yep.
there. Yep, yep, yep.
Anybody in the
love
archive?
You all.
Love you.
Okay, so.
Thank you, everybody.
Good hug in
I
the
love
air.
You all. Jesus loves us all.
Yeah, yes, he sure does.
He's coming for us.
Amen.
The Spirit and the Bride do say come.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Okay, keep praise Israel
you.
In prayer, guys. Yeah. Oh,
praise
Lord.
You, Jesus.
And those children.
And
yeah.
I hope a lot of people stay in chat and. You know, hey, mute yourself
super.
Right now so that you all can
okay.
stay in chat and fellowship a little more. Tracy, I'm so glad you showed up with us. Rita and Jerry and
hi, guys.
Chris.
Hey, Roman.
You know,
is Roman
and,
there?
And,
Roman's there?
Well, Roman's not. Yeah, Roman's there. Roman.
Oh, yeah. Roman.
And we have a couple of guests.
Okay. Roman, thank you for
guests.
All
thanks
the,
for
and the
all,
emails. Yeah. Yeah, he's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you, Roman. We love you, Roman. And thank
you, baby.
We
love all of you guys.
Who are in listening mode.
Yeah.
And it looks like...
Okay. It's 8:30,
it looks
guys.
Like the show's over. Yeah.
Okay.
It sure is. Well, thank you all so much for...
Sure, thank you.
You know, for blessing us with your presence. And with your anointed word.
Hopefully we've touched
and,
hearts out
look,
there.
Look up.
Yes, look
up
and know your salvation
because,
is nigh. Yeah, your redemption is nigh.
Yeah.
Blessed hope,
our
encourage each other.
Yeah.
We're commanded to encourage each other and with the blessed hope. Yeah.
Amen.
He wants us never be discouraged, no matter what.
Never.
His ways are not our ways, so we don't try to figure it out. We just trust and hope and love. And be happy. Be cheerful.
Amen.
God loves you when you're cheerful. Oh, boy, he loves that. No matter what, be cheerful. Be cheerful, God. And be joy to those around you. Okay, signing off. Love you. And I'll talk tomorrow
okay.
one way or the other.
All right.
Okay.
One way
okay,
or the other.
Bye-bye.
Hopefully in the air, right?
Yes,
hopefully
group
in
hug in the air.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Jesus
bye.
In the middle.
Bye.
Okay, guys. Okay, bye-bye.